fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Central Florida, another wonderful, beautiful, glorious August Sunday afternoon. Boy, it's nice out there. I am not Lair Adams. I'm Nostradamus sitting in Lair's chair, but don't worry. If Lair Adams is your favorite American adversary, well, you're just crazy. But if he is, he'll be here soon. He is out shopping for the cake for our anniversary, because today is our 200th show as the American adversaries on Sunday night. Is that incredible or what?
That is incredible.
Chris always says this hour flies by, and even when this hour is 3 hours, it flies by. And the first 597 of these hours on Sunday nights have flown by, and these next three are sure to do the same. Give us a call. Be a part of the show. 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-TALK. We are in the Mercury Free Studios, and we hope you will join us. And here is the man who's been sitting in that same stool for our 199 Sunday nights, Christopher Hart.
This making 200, and I think this thing is stuck to my butt by now. Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Classic Edition, as that man Nostradamus likes to say, in our three-hour Sunday evening tour. And that's right, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And if you are listening to us through the terrestrial airwaves, that means you are listening to us on 1520 WBZW. But here not too long, we'll be going back up on AM 660, The Answer, the big stick, as they like to call it around here. And we'll certainly let you know then. If you're listening on the internet or your smart device, well, you're in good shape because you don't have to do anything. We appreciate you being with us, and don't forget, that's right, for the best in mercury-free dentistry, call my dear friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399, at least if for no other reason than to thank him for being a sponsor of this show and helping us make it to the 200 show line, if you will. And that being, of course, just on Sunday nights. We're already up well over 600 on the drive time show. So
I was just thinking, Dr. Hardy,
packing them in.
Dr. Hardy and you are very similar in their nature, because he takes unhealthy, toxic stuff out of your teeth, and you do your best to take unhealthy, toxic stuff out of our brains.
Out of people's brains. That's right. We all do. We're all at the, that's the task around here. And, okay, so Lair's going to be late, but we also still have the rest of the guys in the studio tonight. And, of course, that would include Carl Jackson.
Hello, everyone.
He once again had another great show yesterday morning, and you can hear him live right here every Saturday at 8 a.m. Johnny Guns is hard at work over here as well, and he's got some big WTF lined up for us later on. And of course, we got Lucas, our man Paris, who has got us. There he is.
How we doing out there?
How you doing? Okay, and he's got us up on Ustream.tv, so you can tune us in there and see what we're up to tonight. And we got a lot of things that we're going to be up to tonight. And Ustream.tv, type in American Adversaries, and there we will be. And I think all but maybe one, maybe two of these 100, at least 200 Sunday night shows have been produced by our man Jeff Sinis, who's on the bridge tonight.
Howdy, and happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. How many? You've only missed one or two.
I think maybe two.
Just one or two.
Yeah.
You're in Jamaica one weekend, and then you had another day
Bahamas.
Off once.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
out cruising, if you will. All right, so we'll be also giving special thanks throughout the night to our sponsors, especially Pasquale Barba, who's been with us the longest. He's been with us 3.5 years now, and we certainly appreciate that. And who knows, he might even just pop in later on.
I'd like that.
Yeah, that'd be really, really cool. And, of course, Mary Lee at Vacation Travel Planners, vacationtravelplanners.com. And we'll be talking about the others during the show, too, including Firm Foundation, Refresh Computers, and, of course, Roxy Pacifics. That stuff that everybody needs to have a bottle of that stuff. Get you a piece of pizza and a bottle of Roxy Pacifics and get your house right, and you'll be all set to go on a cruise. Hmm. Take your computer with you because you can get it worked on at the Refresh Computers if something happens to it. We do have a big show to talk about tonight. I want to start off here in a few minutes, sort of picking up where Carl more or less left off yesterday. Not that he didn't have his full say, but I mean, I want to sort of chime in or join the conversation, if you will, part of what Carl was talking about on his show yesterday morning. And in that conversation, I'm going to reveal the golden rule of politics. We're also going to talk about the Putin, ISIS, and Barack Obama horror show that is developing before our eyes around the world. And instead of our Who Said That content, tonight, we're going to do a Where Was That contest, and I think you'll enjoy that. We have some special music to back it up, even. And Sunny, our California glow girl, is no longer going to be with us.
Oh, no.
Because Sunny, our Arizona glow girl, is going to be with us.
Okay. You know what? Better governor.
There you go, Ed.
Better governor and better gun rights.
I tell you what, she's going through a bit of a culture shock, if you will, going from Los Angeles to Arizona. And she'll say, she said, told me today on the phone that one of the biggest things that she's noticed is how quiet it is there.
Is she anywhere near a big city?
Of course, she lived downtown Los Angeles. Well, let her tell us all that.
Okay, because even a big city in Arizona is nothing compared to Los Angeles.
And, of course, the gun culture is tremendously different as well, so she'll be able to fill us in on all that. Nostradamus has got some stories from his past, or our past anyway.
Yeah, it's not my past, man.
And Carl's Corner, Johnny Guns with WTF News, and Larry will have his closing when he gets here, I'm sure, in his back pocket. So we're all set to go here tonight. And as Nostradamus said, keep that phone handy. 407-774-8255 is the number. And if you've been listening 4 years, like I know Eva and Sherry, you guys have been, if you'd like to call and say, well, hey, we've had enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's
we've
your
learned
chance.
All we can. Let someone else do it now.
All right. But yesterday, Carl did a great show, and part of the show, he talked about the Senate races coming up. And how in this cycle, being the 2014 cycle, the Republicans certainly have the advantage in the sense that they have fewer seats that they have to defend, and the seats that the Democrats have to defend, a number of them are in states that Romney won in the past election. Is that correct, Carl?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
And you also pointed out that, and I had seen this in the Wall Street Journal, and I've got a little graph here that we can show on Ustream.tv if we want, that backs up something else you said, and that the Democrats are out fundraising the Republicans in the congressional races even now. They have outraised, and they have more money to spend. So it is all not just, you know, rosy for the Republicans. And that's going into this year's elections. And already there are words of, let's just say, don't expect a huge, you know, change. In other words, if the Republicans do gain the control of the Senate, it probably will be like what we've been saying for a while now, not by much more than the hair on your chinny chin chin, or the skin on your teeth, or however you want to say it. And Carl, I believe you pointed that out on your show yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it's if they win this year, which I do believe they'll win, I don't believe it's going to be the huge numbers they expect. I just don't think the base is incentivized.
And then you pointed out something perhaps even more important in terms of going forward.
As far as
2016.
Okay, 2016, what we've done in this primary cycle is we've elected what we would call the status quo. The status quo is not going to incentivize or electrify the base for 2016 when quite frankly, what happens in 2016, we have 24 Republican seats up in the Senate compared to just 9.
Wow.
So, I mean,
and they believe a lot of those Republican seats are in states that Obama won, including, guess where? Right here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Florida.
Seat,
yeah. Rubio. Not, no, it's going to be Nelson. It's going to be Rubio.
Oh, Rubio.
Yeah. Okay.
Rubio's
absolutely
up for re-election.
Rubio, Rob Portman.
In a state that Obama won, not once, but twice.
Yeah.
And probably could thrice.
And that makes kind of a lot of sense because in 2010, there's always a little backlash against whoever gets elected to the White House. The Senate and the House usually go in the other direction 2 years later. And in 2010, there were a lot of Republican victories. So there's a lot more up for grabs again in 2016.
That's right. You know, and we're not the only ones who have noticed that the status quo was basically welcomed back in. In Friday's Orlando Sentinel, Scott Maxwell, who's not considered, I would believe, a staunch conservative, he's somewhere on the left side of the dial, if you will, or the aisle. He just wrote this article Friday. It says, 12 things that we learned from this week's elections. And he goes down the list of 12 things. And number one, he says, you people lie. And he's talking about the readers of the newspaper.
What do you mean, you people?
I know it's harsh for me to start off with such an ugly statement, but it's true. You folks lie. You claim you're sick of the status quo. You claim you're sick of incumbents. You claim you're going to send a message, but you don't. At least not when the incumbents are members of your own party. Congress and the legislature both have approval ratings rivaling herpes. Yet all but one local legislative and congressional incumbents won Tuesday. And I will go on to add, not only did they win, but they won
big.
Huge.
Well, you know what? Incumbents like herpes are tough to get rid of.
Yeah. And
virtually impossible.
Yeah, yeah. He and then he goes on and he talks. Let me just quickly down the list. He says Democrats have big problems. Some Republicans are screaming, "I told you so." He's talking to the enthusiasm problem. Democrats, he says, if the general goes like the primary did, basically he's saying that Charlie Crist is not going to win. Working hard matters. So does connecting with voters. John Micah and Jennifer Thompson are great examples. Micah is a member of a wildly unpopular Congress. Thompson was a Texgate mess, and both had respectable challengers. Yet both cruised back into office because they pounded the pavement, and listen to this, Carl, and stayed involved in local issues that voters care about, like the VA for Micah and imposing unpopular neighborhood. In other words, what you were saying yesterday, bring home the bacon.
Right, exactly right.
Exactly. And that's something actually we have been criticizing Micah about, but obviously we're pretty lonely in that criticism. Don't underestimate youth. And then he mentions Jennifer Sullivan. And I was backing Terry Seifelt, but I said, keep your eye on Jennifer Sullivan. And by the way, she got a front page story in today's Orlando Sentinel,
good for
by
her,
the way.
Because she might be a force out there.
Well, she definitely will give some heartburn up there. And I'm glad to see that. People like schools because they voted whatever tag. If you say it's for the school, people are going to vote for it. And we'll go into some other things. But I want to get deeper into what Carl was talking about because I think it bodes. We give a few lessons to the Republicans here tonight.
We just set sail in this 3-hour tour of the American adversaries, but we'll throw you a lifeline if you want us to drag you along.
200 shows. How sweet it is. All right, welcome back. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and if you've been listening to the Rays post-game show, our condolences on the Rays' loss today, but you are now listening to the American Adversaries, and hopefully you'll stick with us. And folks, if you've been listening to us on 1520 WBZW, you can now go back down the dial to AM 660, The Answer, and that's where we'll be. Okay, you are listening, as I say, we are live, 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart in the studio this afternoon with Nostradamus Dennis, our executive producer, our colleague Carl Jackson, who has his own show every Saturday morning at 8, and our WTF news hound Johnny Guns, and our cameraman, that's right, Lucas Paris, has us up live on Ustream TV, so you can go to ustream.tv and type in American Adversaries, and there we will be. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge tonight, as he has been for almost all of our 200th, now this is our 200th Sunday night edition of the American Adversaries, and certainly want to thank all you folks who've been out there with us all along the way. We couldn't have done it without you, and Carlos couldn't have done it without our great sponsors like Pasquale Barba. You just heard his commercial for Cafe Positano. Sometime in the fall here, we'll set up a little remote broadcast. We did a remote broadcast on our third-year anniversary, but as it turned out, we got bumped off the air, I believe, that whole night by the Rays. So it kind of took a little bit of the shine off of it, but we still had a great time over at Cafe Positano.
And
so
I wish they would
actually,
again
soon.
When they preempt us, I wish they would actually win, but more often than not, they don't.
Well, hopefully it's not a curse. Don't forget, Cafe Positano is the finest Italian eaten in all of Central Florida, as far as I'm concerned. They're 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. And their number there is 407-774-8080. Please go there and give Pasquale a big thank you for us, if you will, for backing us up for 3.5 of those 4 years. And who knows, he might even bop in here in a little while. But we have been talking about Carl Jackson's show yesterday morning, where he talked about how, yeah, it may look decent, if not pretty good, for the Republicans this year in terms of the Senate races. In 2 years, in the 2016 race, it doesn't look that good at all. The Democrats are going to have far fewer, almost a third as many seats up for election, re-election, as the Republicans. And many of those Republican seats are going to be in states like right here in Florida, where Marco Rubio will be up for re-election in a state that Barack Obama won last go-round. So it's going to be a lot tougher. And as Carl said yesterday, Republicans may win the Senate now and actually lose it again in 2 years.
A lot of that's going to depend on who the Republicans put up as their candidate.
Exactly.
And that's where Carl didn't kind of go, and where that's where I want to go right now. Because, yes, you're absolutely right. And by the way, first of all, let me jump back to the Orlando Sentinel again real quick. Also, this was in Thursday's Orlando Sentinel. They were kind of crying a little bit, too, like Scott Maxwell. And I was just reading a part of his article from Friday, where he accused us voters out here, and I guess in particular listeners and especially readers of his newspaper. He says, you lie. He says, you complain, but you don't do anything about it when you get a chance.
It's true.
Yep.
And then on Thursday, the day before, the Sentinel had also run this on their op-ed page from their editorial board. What We Think is the title of their series. Too many voters missed their chance for change. And basically, they say, they give the sad numbers. Volusia County had the highest voter turnout at 23%. Osceola lowest at 13%, Seminole 18%, Lake 17%, Orange 16%. Dismal numbers.
Yeah.
And then they go on to say, well, golly, voting is so easy. It's been made voting so easy, we can't understand. And then they say many voters are willing to dig a little deeper in their own pockets to pay more taxes. But in essence, the gist of the article is not very many people wanted to vote, even though it's so easy. And I think that's part of the problem. I think that it's too easy to vote. Or in this sense, I think that what they have done is they have, over the years, we have made voting a mundane thing. It's not special anymore. And I proposed this on the show the other day. I think they should take the election and make it on one day again. And you make it a holiday, if you will. And then also, how about this for an idea for all you liberals out there who complain about people who could never make it to the polls? How about free bus rides on that day?
All public transportation.
Yes, sir.
That makes perfect sense.
Damn right.
Technically prepaid for bus rides.
Yeah, well, someone will pay for it. It just won't be the person on the bus at the time. Right?
But the point, make it a special occasion.
I agree.
Where the government makes it as easy as possible. If you need to increase the polling places, do that too. I mean, let's make this a special event, not some mundane, boring, oh, we got to do that again? It's time to vote again? Good God, didn't we just, now we got to put up with all these ads again? It's like we've made it miserable, a miserable thing. And believe me, folks, that's exactly what the liberals want you to think. And that's exactly what the incumbents want you to think. Because the lower the turnout, the better chance they have to win. Just right. Look at that Seminole County sales tax and look at what happened this past Tuesday.
You know, I enjoy voting on Election Day, even though they have absentee ballots, they have early voting, because I like the tradition of, hey, it's Tuesday. It's the second Tuesday or the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. I want to vote. This past Tuesday, I almost didn't vote. I had a crap load of work to do. John, you remember, you were there. Tuesday was a bear of a day at work. And one of my cars in our family died.
Yeah.
Somehow I worked it out. I broke away. I voted. And still, you know, if you didn't vote, you're kind of part of the problem.
Indeed, especially in a democratic republic like this. But, you know, don't let these people discourage you from voting. And it should be something, as I said, special. So make it special in your life, if you can at all do that. Because it is one of the particular things that we have enjoyed that virtually no other society has enjoyed, and especially not the way that we enjoy it. Having said all of that, looking forward to 2016, yes, this is going to be crucial that the Republicans come up with a person that can rejuvenate the party and have some long coattails. Because if not, the Democrat, whoever the nominee is going to be much more likely to be elected, and their coattails are going to be long by default because of the numbers that Carl just explained there. It will be easy to have long coattails with those odds stacked against the Republicans in 2016. So they need to come up with a good candidate. And this candidate needs to be basically Barack Obama Republican style. And what I mean by that is, and I don't mean to say that he needs to be divisive, but he does need to be, to a certain extent, dismissive of the liberal arguments. And what I mean by that is he needs to make them into the jokes, into the funny, the laughable jokes that they are.
Kind of like Reagan was able to
exactly
do so well.
Exactly like Reagan was able to do so well. And comedians can do so well. Yeah. Why can't these fools do it, right? That's what they need to do. And they also need to learn to live by this rule, this fundamental rule of politics. And tell me if Barack Obama didn't play this one like a fiddle all three times around. Hillary, McCain, Romney. Do unto others before they do unto you. It's as simple as that, stupids. Do unto others before they do unto you.
That was Barack Obama's history as an Illinois senator, as a U.S. senator. What happened to every opponent he came across? Something bad happened to him. Scandals broke at just the right time and left him a clear path to victory.
In politics, if you do not do unto others before they do unto you, you will wish the hell you had. I'll guarantee you that right now. And I thank you once again, folks, for being with us, especially you folks who have been with us for all 200 episodes. We really do editions of the American
Adversary. Oh, they can be episodes. So some of them are episodes, I'll tell you what.
But 4 years in the making is where we're at now, and we really appreciate you being out there. When we come back, I got one or two more points to make. We got Nostradamus from some stories from the past, and then, of course, Carl's Corner's coming up more after this short break.
I just thought of something.
What's that?
It's been 4 years already. We're now into our fifth year. We're now lame ducks. Oh, no. Quack, quack. We'll be back after this.
Okay, that was Sunny, our California glow girl, who's now Sunny, our California Arizona glow girl, and should be with us later on in the show. I am Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me is not only our executive producer, Nostradamus, but Carl Jackson, Johnny Guns. Lucas Paris has us up on Ustream.tv. And by the way, folks, you can communicate with us via Ustream.tv. Just go there, type in American Adversaries. As you're watching us, you'll see a little chat box. Just type in whatever you wanted to say there, and we'll get the message. Lucas will pass it on to us.
And if it's smart and pithy, we'll actually say it on the air.
There you go. Lair Adams is on his way in, and Jeff Sinis is on the bridge tonight. We'd love to hear from you as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we get to Nostradamus and his stories from the past, I'd just like to tie up a couple of loose ends of what we were talking about right before the break. The Republicans need to come up with a strong candidate in 2016. It's imperative. And then whoever that candidate is, they need to learn to live by what the Democrats have lived by for so long, and that is the bottom line rule of politics in terms when it comes to elections: do unto others before they do unto you. And you can run clean elections, but you can still be highly critical of your opponent. And you can bet your bottom dollar Republicans, they're going to do it to you. I mean, look what they did to Mitt Romney. And Obama started early. He didn't wait around, did he? No, he did it to Romney before Romney ever even had a chance to do it to Obama. So they live by this rule. You need to understand that. We need to understand that. And then this candidate needs to turn the tables. He needs to be Reagan-esque, and he needs to turn the tables. Remember when the classic turning of the tables was when he turned the tables on Mondale about the age thing, right?
What a great line.
And it just flipped it all over. And suddenly that issue was gone, wasn't it? Okay? There's something to be learned there. When it comes to these bogus things like climate change and Obama wasting his time, evidently now trying to sign a treaty, committing the United States to things that normal treaties wouldn't be able to commit us to thanks to his executive order, somebody needs to turn that on him and make him look like the buffoon that he is for doing it. All right? That he's a buffoon. He obviously doesn't understand American constitutional law, even though he was supposedly a constitutional lawyer. There's a joke in that. The bad joke, of course, is the liberal attitude that Obama carries so haughtily. But the real joke can be made of him for doing that. You mentioned a couple of movies we were talking about during the break. A Charlie Chaplin movie and a Mel Brooks movie.
Sure. And both of them said when they were asked, you know, how can you do a film about the most reviled man in the 20th century and make it a comedy? And Chaplin and Brooks both had the same answer. They said, what do you do when you're confronted with evil like that? First, of course, you have to fight it. But in retrospect, if you're going to go back and try to examine someone like that, the best way to attack them is make fun of them.
Yep.
Make them as small and insignificant as they really are.
And it will make it easier for people to turn away from them, don't you understand? Because you are bringing them down to the level where they belong. Part of the reason Obama's where he's at is because he can hold himself up high like that, you see? He's on a cloud because there's nothing really to it. But as long as he's floating up in the air like that, he's bigger than everybody else. Bring him down to size. Turn the tables on him. Make him laughable because his policies are laughable. We don't have a strategy yet? You telling me that's not funny in a sad sort of way?
That is an SNL moment for your behind.
You better believe it is, my friends. And give them, that's right, give them a taste of their own medicine. Let Barack Obama feel what it feels like, what, like when he told Romney in the campaign, one of the debates when he was making fun of Romney, we now have these big ships that they can land planes on and ships that go under the water. Like, Romney should have looked at him and said something to the effect of, I don't know what he should have said, but hopefully he could have had a quick wit and said, okay, moron, tell me more or something. You got to be ready for these things. He could have turned to him in all seriousness and said, Mr. President, this is a presidential debate. Do you think that that kind of rhetoric is warranted in the debate? Do you think, sir, that I do not know what an aircraft carrier is? And then maybe name off some aircraft carriers and some statistics. Make what the man said laughable and sound stupid like it was.
Exactly right. And he could have informed the president that there were soldiers on horseback and on boot in the hills of Afghanistan at that very moment.
And by the way, they all still get bayonets.
Yes. They just got some new ones at that point in time, as a matter of fact.
That's right. I mean, you got to be prepared for these. They are opportunities, don't you see? Republicans shy away from the debate because they feel like they're going to lose the debate. Oh, the media's on their side. It's an opportunity to debate these fools. Because they are just that. They are foolish, and their arguments are foolish. Welcome the chance to knock them out of the park and be ready when you get those opportunities. That's going to take a little bit of educating yourself, a little bit of hard work, but I guarantee it won't take much. All right, speaking of the past, it is time for... Do we have the cue? There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Predict
mm-hmm.
the past.
Thank you, Mr. 5-Minute Professor. Love you, buddy. Here's where we go back and look at the stories that we tried to get to all week, but we didn't have enough time for. Hopefully on Sunday night, with 3 hours on this, our 200th episode, we might have some time for these stories. Here's one. This is from Orange County, Florida. Troy Schmidt's jaw dropped. A few minutes before, he'd been preparing to start his seventh year as chaplain for the Olympia High School football team in Florida. But now those plans had been changed, radically changed. Schmidt got a call from the football coach. He said Orange County Public Schools are no longer allowed to have chaplains as part of the football program. He can still go to the games. He can still create the pregame meal, which he does for all these kids each week, It's a feast. It's a celebration of the game coming ahead. But he can no longer open the Bible, talk about the Bible, talk about God, or pray with the team in any capacity. He said, they said I could still come and speak, but I wasn't going to be called a chaplain. They wanted to call me a life coach. Schmidt knew right away he would not be able to accept such a position. But on occasion, he is still going to cook the food for them. The ministers are no longer welcome on school property, but Pastor Schmidt said his church will continue to serve the pregame meal to his kids. They don't want the kids to suffer, he says. So, way to go, Orange County.
Yeah.
Taking God out of your schools.
Yeah, Seminole County did a similar thing. There was a fellow who got injured, and the other players knelt around him to pray as somebody videotaped it, and some atheists got their hands on it and made a big stir, and so now Seminole County has basically made the same mistake.
And the crackdown,
and believe me, it is a mistake.
And this crackdown is a result of a threat, not a lawsuit, but a threat filed by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's based in Wisconsin. Yeah. There is no one from Central Florida who is offended by this, at least not that we can tell from this story.
We're going to have to put some brain power to see if we can figure out what to do about stuff like that.
It's crazy. Speaking of crazy, let's talk about the IRS. Did you hear this story last week with all the stuff going on about ISIS and Ferguson and the Emmys? Lois Lerner's BlackBerry was intentionally destroyed after Congress began its probe into the IRS targeting of conservative groups. Did we talk about that on the air last week?
Just mentioned it in passing.
Yeah, just in passing. Well, Thomas Kane is Deputy Assistant Chief Counsel for the IRS, and he wrote in a declaration part of a lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch against the IRS that her BlackBerry was, quote, removed or wiped clean of any sensitive or proprietary information and removed as scrap for disposal in June 2012. And that date's significant because at that time, ex-IRS official Lerner had already been brought before congressional staffers who interviewed her about reports of the IRS targeting of conservative groups. We'd already talked to her. Representative Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, told Fox News. Our personal staff and oversight committee staff sat down with her, confronted her about information we were getting from conservative groups in the state of Ohio. If you intentionally destroy evidence, that is a crime. If you make a statement in court saying the evidence is not available, and it is, that is also a crime, says our colleague Jay Sekulow, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. The IRS did not immediately respond to Fox's News requests for an interview.
Don't go try telling the IRS that you purposely destroyed your records.
No, as a tax
advisor, they will view that as a crime.
As someone who does taxes, I'm sure you get that advice a lot.
Oh, goodness gracious, I don't. I wish I could be in Congress just to bring up a Lois Lerner IRS Act something or another. Oh, my goodness.
How about this one? Have you heard about the 51st state? You know, Jefferson? Well, representative of two counties in far North California petitioned state officials Thursday for the right to form a 51st state called Jefferson, formally asking state lawmakers to vote on their proposal. The guy who's in charge of this group, his name is Mark Baird, told the crowd of about 70 supporters at a rally outside the state capitol in Sacramento that residents of as many as 10 counties would be free to create a small state with limited government. Baird says, we fully expect to be ignored. And that's about all I've got on Nostradamus predicting the past.
All right, I got one or two little ones here. First of all, of course, you heard about, we told you a while back about this Metcalf Power Station in California where it was shot up with the AK-47s.
Yes.
They stood there for like 10 minutes shooting the thing up, and it ended up draining the oil out of the cooling oil, and it caused the transformers to overheat, and they went down.
And we said at the time it might be a test run for something bigger, just
terrorist,
poking at the system.
Yes. Well, finally, PG&E, that's the electric utility station, a corporation, excuse me, in California that owns that substation, was upgrading the security of the station. Unfortunately, they had a security breach on Wednesday at the station. Some folks cut their way in through the fence and managed to make their way off with some construction equipment. Evidently, it was some I would have to say probably some tools, maybe some compressors or generators or something to that effect. I don't have a list here. But the corporation was at a loss as what they could do in order to ensure the security of the station while they are upgrading the security of the station. All I could suggest is, why don't you hire a security guard for the station while you're upgrading the security on it? Oh, well. And then this. Warren Buffett has showed us his buns. That's right, folks.
What? A full moon?
He sure has, because he has got full on board with Burger King being taken over, if you will, by Tim Horton. And he's going to be a huge investor in that deal so that he can get this, folks. Avoid paying taxes.
Smart man.
That's right. That's right. The guy who came up with, or at least the moniker, the Buffett rule, and for higher paying higher taxes, is going out of his way to avoid paying taxes. And because of this, what they call tax inversion, this is a version of the inversion, where these corporations are going out of the country in order to get a better tax rate elsewhere.
Was it Walgreens who was thinking about doing that, and then they pulled back and decided not to?
They couldn't take the pressure from the president.
Yeah.
But these are great, these are good tax policies, and the cure is lower the corporate income tax rate. It's absurd to have one in the beginning, but at least lower it and make it so it's not an issue for these companies to have to go elsewhere to in order to increase their profits. It's just basic business.
It's American Adversaries Sunday night 3-hour tour, and Carl's Corner is next.
All right, that's our good buddy Mark Miro, but now it's time for our man Carl Jackson. So, Carl, take her away.
Okay, I want to talk about the GOP's rush to defeat, and I want to kind of pick up where Chris and the fellas here, including myself, left off earlier. And he began speaking of a candidate that will be needed in order to electrify the base so that the senatorial races or senatorial candidates, the congressional candidates can run on their coattails. This is absolutely essential. This is an element of what I spoke on yesterday that I just simply didn't get a chance to get to. I also want you to understand this is exactly why Romney won't work. Mind you this, I thought Romney, as moderate as he was actually a great presidential candidate. But he did not take advantage of the opportunity that was given him. And he lost. So you can't expect the base that weren't electrified to vote for Romney to come back and get electrified to vote for Romney with a Romney and Boehner and Mitch McConnell still at the head of the Republican Party. It is simply not going to happen. The excitement will not be there. So this is something that's crucial. This is something that's crucial for establishment voters to read or to understand. I'm sorry. You have to understand that President Obama has been very successful in not only dismantling the country, but dismantling the Republican Party in this sense. Conservatives and Tea Partiers are divided. And whether or not this is by design, perhaps, I want to say the president is brilliant enough to do this, but at the same time, I know that he's awkward. He's awkward. He's inept. And I also know, however, that this is part of Saul Alinsky's strategy. He's effectively divided us by suppressing the vote. How has he suppressed the vote? He's disincentivized us. He's absolutely disincentivized us. The Democrat Party has worked this to a T. They did it effectively in 2012. As a matter of fact, I remember Chris Hart just a week or two ago before the elections right here in Central Florida, the primary race between David Smith and John Micah. John Micah sent out a mailer, and it wasn't to inform you of things that David Smith was about because he was lying. The mailer was full of lies, but it was in order to suppress the vote. This is exactly what the Democrat Party has been so effective in doing, and unfortunately, establishment politicians and, dare I say, the establishment voters that refuse to do any type of research have fallen for this. But I want you to know of another issue that's going on that's really a pet peeve of mine, actually a new pet peeve of mine, and this is the strategists that are behind the Romneys, if you will. I want to turn your attention to a story that I found on Breitbart.com that is excellent. And you need to understand what's going on. You need to understand that the Republican Party is in danger, absolute danger, for 2016, using establishment Republicans and using establishment strategists like Karl Rove. Listen to this story. And for some reason, I did not write the title down, so I apologize, but it's on Breitbart.com. And unfortunately, I don't have it up right now. But listen to this. Karl Rove and his Crossroads GPS pack are about to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in the Senate by campaigning to the left of incumbents Mark Pryor of Arkansas and Kay Hagan of North Carolina on behalf of Republican challengers Tom Cotton and Tom Tillis. So blatant is this attempt in the latest round of TV ads that the Washington Post teased Rove with a headline that taunted him as a bleeding heart liberal. Reporter blogger Greg Sargent said in the story that two ad campaigns show Republicans once again hitting Dems from the left on entitlements. Salon, whom I typically can't stand, but they're right on this issue, ridiculed the North Carolina ad as the dumbest of the season so far, and it was almost identical to one run in Arkansas a few weeks ago. The Post and Salon are often wrong in their assessment of Republican strategies, but in this instance, they are right on the money. In the recent spots for both the Arkansas and North Carolina markets, the emphasis is on Social Security and plays on the fears that Pryor, Hagan both support raising the eligibility age for benefits. When you consider that incrementally and gradually raising the benefit age is a common sense conservative idea and that Democrats routinely fearmonger off of this very issue, this is a clear case of Rove trying to out-liberal the Democrat candidates and not just settling for the normal Democrat-light campaign the GOP establishment prefers. While this shameless pandering is bad enough on its own, it is simply incomprehensible given the current mood of the country to reject big government liberalism and all things Obama. It is also the most cynical type of niche politics. This strategy assumes that those approaching 60 or 65 in the two states do not care about Obamacare, the VA scandal, IRS, the borders, Benghazi, the fact that government is just growing, just blowing up. It is dependent on these voters caring about only about their particular check at the appointed age. There's no mention of Barack Obama or Harry Reid in the ads whatsoever, two of the most toxic associations in those states. Firing Reid as majority leader is a compelling argument, as was the argument against firing Nancy Pelosi in 2010. Keep in mind that Hagan refused to appear on stage with Obama in Charlotte earlier this week, and now Rose's messaging strategy is allowing her to keep her distance. Ditto for Pryor in Arkansas. And if all of that weren't bad enough, the ads weren't even true. In North Carolina, Hagan was tied to raising the Social Security age because she told the Raleigh News and Observer that she was a big believer in what Bowles and Simpson did on their final commission. She is, in fact, on record on other occasions specifically opposing raising the eligibility age and trying to paint the two Democrat incumbents as fiscal conservatives. Crossroads is connecting dots that simply do not touch. Which begs the question, why would the supposedly smartest strategist in the Republican Party even try, with the national zeitgeist demonstrably against Obama, his policies, his party, and in fact his belief system? Why wouldn't the focus be on the fact that a vote for Hagan or Pryor is a vote for Obama and Reid? The key may lie in two parts of Rove's background. First, he was in the direct mail business for 19 years, and direct mail is a very micromanaged type B left brain endeavor by definition. As a talented tactician, he is not a strategist. The two skills are not at all the same. As such, he has never directed a campaign with a compelling big picture, all-encompassing message. In the direct mail world, you find one hot button and run a sale on that item and that zip code. In politics, it means you think of everything, you think of every voter as a single issue voter and try to niche your way to 271 electoral votes, whether it be abortion, whether it be Social Security. Another tell is Rove's reliance on focus group data, which simply doesn't work because you can't explain conservative ideas in a 2-hour focus group. Because guess what? Next week, the issue may change. So Karl Rove's mailers may work for a district here. It may work for John Micah's district. But it isn't going to work for the whole country.
All right. Excellent stuff there. Yeah, that's trying to outdo liberals at being liberals is not what I meant by do unto others before they do unto you. So I don't think Karl Rove quite got that one. But you're right. He is not a strategist. He's a micromanaging type guy. It worked great for George Bush, and it'll work great at some level for any candidate because you need to have somebody can go in and say, okay, if we can win this district, that district, and that district, we can win the whole shebang.
Exactly.
And it'd be like some suburb of Ohio and some rural county here in Florida. That he's so dialed in is to where the crucial votes will be. But you can't micromanage big ideas. And what Republicans need right now is big ideas in a big way. All right.
Want some more big ideas? Well, tune in right after the news. We'll be back with more of the American Adversaries.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. A division of...
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
It's the second hour of the American Adversaries. Nostradamus sitting in Lair Adams' seat. Christopher Hart's in the studio. Carl Jackson's in the studio. Johnny Gunn's in the studio. Lucas Paris in the studio. And Jeff Senes is behind the glass on our 200th episode. You know, we are not just broadcasting. We are not just webcasting, but we are streaming our video.
We are telecasting.
Telecast on Ustream.tv. Oh, you know who's not here is Lair Adams. And at this point, if he doesn't come with a garlic pizza, I don't think we should let him in.
He's missing the social stream.
Here, yeah, can you make Lucas's mic hot, please, Jeff? What's that?
What I'm saying is Lair's missing out on the social stream. I mean, we got a quote right here from Slick Voodoo Daddy from Altamont. He made a statement to the effect of, whoever's put up by the Republican Party needs to take the gloves off.
Amen. And that's what I meant by do unto others before they do unto you being the golden rule of politics. You got to get down and dirty in politics sometimes, folks, and it's up to your opponent. In wrestling, they say that the heel, that's the bad guy, leads the dance, so
sure.
to speak. Am I not correct about
that?
That
is very correct.
Yeah, because the bad guy's going to set the pace. And if you're not up to fighting him on his terms, he's going to whip you every time. Barack Obama is a great example of that, Carl.
And a liberal victory, you know, as much as I may be ranting here, a liberal victory in 2016 isn't a fait accompli. It's not that. We can incentivize the base with the right person.
Right. He's got to have the right message, but he's got to be able to tell that message in the right way.
Yeah.
What Romney said about 47% of the American electorate aren't going to vote for him at all, it was factually accurate, but it made no sense for him to say that, knowing that there was any chance at all that was going to come out in the mainstream media.
But once it did, he should have been able to turn the argument into his advantage.
Define it. Hey, would you look at this?
All right.
Am I Nostradamus or what?
Surprise, surprise.
He's not Lair Adams, but he's got a pizza for us. Pasquale Barber from Cafe Positano.
Hey, welcome to the show, Pasquale.
Come on around.
I tell you, why don't you put that on the desk or wherever we can
find
a place.
That pizza makes him look so much more handsome than he normally is.
Let's put it right here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Would you look at those?
Wow. It's not a pizza, but you're going to tell us what they are. All right.
Wow.
Ooh, they look good, whatever they are.
Well, if you want to see what this is, go to Ustream.tv. Type in American Adversaries. log on in, and then at some point in the show, we're going to bring some of those delicious looking little pastry things.
Come on back in here. Yeah, and you'll also be able to see, if you haven't yet met Pasquale Barba, you'll be able to see what he looks like. And he'll be just right in to tell us what that's all about.
And if you have a pithy comment you want to leave, but you're shy about being on the radio.
Lucas. Oh, there it is.
Just go to Lucas.
He's putting it on Ustream.
Lucas is our. There we go. Lucas is our head webhead, and he will read your comments live on the air if you got something good to say, but you're a little bit shy about being on the radio.
That's right. Just go to Ustream.tv, type in American Adversaries, and type in your comments at the little chat box there. And so Pasquale Barba of Cafe Positano is joining us in the studio now. We appreciate that. Yeah, the Republicans have got to learn how to, you know, be better professional politicians, if you will, professional wrestling politicians. They got to know how to get it on with these other guys. And it really is easy because liberals have losing arguments from day one. I mean, all you guys got to do is listen to Rush Limbaugh for a few weeks, and you're loaded with ammunition against these guys, and he can make it funny, too. Pasquale, hey, oh boy, that stuff smells good. What did you bring us? Hey, Pasquale.
Good evening to everybody. Nice to be here.
Great to have you in. What did you bring us, though?
Well, you got to try first if you like, and then I tell you.
You know we're going to like them. There is no doubt. That's if you make smart. It, you know we're going to like it.
Judging by the smell, we are going to absolutely love it.
I see him on the other side. They start tweeting already.
Oh, look at Jeff.
Three of them gone.
Look at
yep.
Jeff.
Way
yeah.
to go, Jeff.
About to toss the head down, honestly.
Yeah, that's right. So
they look like little puff pastries, but I have a feeling there's cheese in there somewhere.
Yeah. So you haven't been on for a while, Pasquale. How you doing?
Doing very good, thank you.
And you just went to Europe for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Italy and Germany.
Yes.
And what you were telling us some stuff about Italy when you got back about you know, how we're becoming more and more like Italy, if you will.
I just let me warm up a little bit. Let's eat this the pizza. Normally it's wheels. The pizza I brought, it's I made like a long calzone, and then I cut in slices.
Oh, okay.
And then I cooked.
Oh, boy, it sure smells good.
You believe or not, I did it myself.
Pizza. Oh, wow, we got the special treat. Pizza wheels. You call it pizza wheels.
Then I go back to you what we just talking about.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. I love talking about pizza, especially when I
know. No, I'm talking about Italy, Germany, what's going on over there, too.
No, I don't. But, yeah, you were just over in Italy, and we always get questions, you know, how's Pasquale doing? When's he going to be back on the show? And the last time you were on the show, you actually called us, from the beach.
Yeah, I was right on the beach.
Yeah.
I was enjoying.
I guess so. And, of course, that's the beach right there on the Mediterranean Sea. And summertime must have been really beautiful at night.
Yes, it's very nice.
And what are things like, though, in Italy right now? How is the economy doing over there?
No good. I mean, on Amalfi Coast, it's where I come from, it's booming. It's very good. But
tourism. A lot of people going there, yeah.
Yes. But overall, in Italy, it's no good.
And I understand they have their own immigration problem, don't they? Refugees coming from Africa and stuff like
Big
that?
Big time. Lebanese, for Africa, for everywhere.
And what happens when they get to Italy? Do they send them back, or they just give them a card and send them on their way?
No, they have to keep some. They split up a little bit between Germany, Italy, French, Spain.
So, in other words, they let them come into Europe?
They have to. They don't have a choice.
Why is that? It's the European policy on immigration?
Yeah, well, let's say these are people that run away for war or for something, and they have to accept them.
Because they're refugees.
And a lot of Italians that are very angry. Well, it's almost like here, pretty much. Well, there's a lot of people there, then they don't have money or they don't have a job. And these people, when they come there, they give something to living, and they give so much money every month and food.
Now, we hear a lot here in America about the Muslim presence in countries like Great Britain and France specifically. In Germany and Italy, we don't hear a lot about that. Is the Muslim presence felt in those two nations?
We have a lot of that, too. But for some reason, over there, there's the people that talk about America.
say that again now?
The Muslim that are over there, they hate America. For some reason, they don't talk about Italian. If they do something about, they will do something. I mean, I know the Italian people, like, if they go on the street, like here, and they open this you know, how you call it, the mess, the Muslim mess, the
mosque.
Yeah, mosque.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were to do something in it, they wouldn't burn in a church. Well, over there, it's 75% it's Catholic. I think the Italian, they were to do something about.
Yeah, it's with the Vatican there and everything. Yeah.
You know, the Vatican, they own mafia.
Okay. All right. Real quickly, we have a caller who called and left a question with Jeff. Evidently, didn't want to come on the show. You should have come on the show with Pasquale here. You never know what might happen. but a listener, this is the message. A listener is asking me to give the voter result differential of the Micah and Haran elections. Haran won. It was 60 something to 30 something for Sturgill. George Martos. So it was an overwhelming victory for him. It was even bigger for Micah. Micah ended up with 73,
I think, was the number.
I believe it was, about 73%.
Or 77.
Smith had 18, and the other two fellas, Ulrich had 5, and Kelly Shirley ended up with 4%. So the incumbents, I noticed this early on that evening, that the incumbents across the board were winning, and winning huge. And that includes, of course, Micah, included Grayson, included school board races, and included judge races. The incumbents won huge, and it was because nobody went out to vote except for the loyal people who go out and they vote incumbent, and they just, you know, they're not looking to change anything.
And they lied to Scott Maxwell. Shame on them. but it's true. Everyone says, oh, get rid of the status quo, and that's a great sentiment. But 90-something percent of incumbents in the House and the Senate get elected the next time they go up for election.
Pasquale, in Italy, you hold elections. It's a parliamentary system. Do they have one election day, or do they draw it out like we've done over here now?
You know, I left so long. It's over. I left when I was 18 years old, so I never voted in Italy. I'll be honest with you. If I got to answer the question, I don't know.
Okay. Well, all right. Well,
I feel more.
That's an honest answer.
I feel more American citizen than Italian.
Well, you are. Well, you are. What I mean is, you are an American citizen.
Yes, I am. But what I'm saying, I know more law over here than in Italy.
Yeah. Yeah, but you managed to keep that great accent. All right, let's see. Looks like we have Tim on the line. So, Tim, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there. And by the way, folks, you can call as well, 407-774-8255. And like the previous caller, you can just leave a note or a question, and Jeff will deliver it to us. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I want to thank all of you for such wonderful shows. Pasquale, a special thanks to you for being a great sponsor. Without you,
thank you,
some of this wouldn't happen.
Amen.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be sitting here right now, I'll tell you that.
And I want to thank the American Adversaries for introducing me to Pasquale, because I've been able to enjoy some great food.
And you're absolutely right about that. Well, we want to thank you, Tim. We appreciate you being out there. You are a very loyal listener, and you're the most loyal of our customers that comes to Pasquale's and has dinner with us so regularly. We really appreciate you doing that.
Well, those that don't sure miss out on a lot.
Well, we appreciate you and appreciate all the good conversation we have with you out there.
Okay, and so my guest for tonight is Hillary Clinton.
We haven't asked the question yet, Tim.
Well, I know, but I'm just guessing.
Yeah, well, you were way off, because it's going to be a where was that contest tonight.
Oh.
Not who said that.
Hillary Clinton's office.
Okay.
The washroom office. Of the Oval Office, you mean, right? All right, thank you, Tim. We appreciate you being out there.
Thank you. Good luck, and let's keep it going to 400.
All right, excellent. We appreciate that. We appreciate that sentiment.
All right. Bye-bye.
And once again, we appreciate Tim and all you listeners being out there for us. We couldn't do it without you. And, of course, we couldn't do it without Cafe Positano's Pasquale Barba. And don't forget, folks, you can make reservations there. 407-774-8080 is their number.
And we're live.
That's right. Being right back. Okay, looks like I'll have to welcome you back, because everybody else is chewing mightily away on these.
It's really good.
And I can't wait to sink my teeth into it.
I'm still monitoring the social stream.
All right. Yeah, Lucas can double task things. He can eat and have us up on Ustream.tv all at the same time. Don't forget, folks, if you go there, you can chat with us. Just type in your comments at the chat box there. All right, we'll go back to the phone lines here real quickly. You are listening to the American Adversary. series. And we'll be here, of course, live until 8 o'clock, at which time we'll turn it over here on AM 660, The Answer, to Armed American Radio. They'll take you live until 11, or you can do like me, and you can go up the dial to 950 WTLN and listen to the John Butler Book Show. He had a great conversation last week with, and today's his last day, retiring Judge Belvin Perry.
And wait, Sunday is his last day?
Tonight at midnight.
Yep. Does he, like, actually have work to do today?
Well, you know, if there were a warrant needed to be signed or something to that effect, yes.
Let's go there at 11:59. See if we can sign this pardon.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to the lines. Now, we have Don Ulrich on the line, and we were just talking about him and the race against John Micah. Hey, Don, how you doing these days?
Oh, good, Chris.
Wish you could be here, man. We're eating some excellent pizza.
I'm about a quarter mile away from you right now.
Hey, you should stop
and
by.
Closing fast.
You should stop by and get a piece.
But my truck is loaded up with signs I had to take down today. Mm.
Some of those are huge, too.
Well, good for you, because a lot of people never take those things down, and they haven't standing up for months.
Now, can't you get a fine if you don't pull those up after a certain period of time?
Yeah, and you can also lose your deposit if you come up as well. So, but talking about the Micah race, the problem... Like, I was, looking at the results, I was never a factor. I mean, flat out. But Smith, he never offered any difference between him and Micah. I mean, he wasn't able to communicate how he was going to be different, other than it was going to be him rather than Micah. And We didn't put forward anybody that that challenged what Micah had done or hadn't done.
Well, I think you kind of said it when you were in the studio one of those last couple of days there, when you said that, and I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, but you said that Smith made a mistake by not attacking John Micah. Didn't you say something to that effect?
And like I said, it's not an attack if it's true.
Yeah, well, I think what you were also expressing was that he wasn't going after him hard enough.
Right.
And these old-timers like Micah, they're going to play dirty. They're going to pull out all the stops to keep that seat. They don't want to go away until they want to go away. And these young whippersnappers, and by that I mean guys like you and John and David Smith who come along, you know, and challenge them, they're going to do everything they can, to be honest with you, to squash you. And the only reason he didn't come after you is because he was spending his time going after Smith, because Smith had been in the election longer. He was seen as the bigger challenge. But I guarantee you, if he had seen a threat from you or anybody else, he'd have come after you the same way. And so you were prepared to attack him. You were prepared to go after him. Unfortunately, I think David Smith, hopefully he will learn from this. I told David that night after the election, I said, you know, Lyndon Johnson lost his first congressional race to an old-timer who had been there in Texas politics for a long time, just like John Micah. But what Lyndon Johnson did was he learned from the experience how the old-timer did it. And next time around, he beat the old-timer. So,
And with Smith, it was he was still in the mode that Micah was going to retire, rather than in the mode that I have to offer up something different than Micah. And show where Micah had failed. So, Micah's polling probably showed that I wasn't even on the meter, so that's why he didn't go after me.
Well, obviously, it showed that no one was on the meter.
I mean,
because you know when you get right down to it, even if all three of you, if you'd combined your votes, he still had 72%.
Yeah, that's tough to beat.
It is, but it wasn't. There were bigger forces at play. Also, let me just say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There were much bigger forces at play, and in the end, I think even if David Smith had gone after him tooth and nail, he probably still would have come up short.
Let me just say this real quick. I met a gentleman that's a wealthy gentleman that used to be a donor for Micah, and he set me straight on some issues where it's virtually impossible for Micah to lose unless there is a windfall election of sorts where you do have a great candidate, you know, it's a presidential year or what have you, where you can incentivize other people to vote. And, but you're right, Don, you have to attack MICA. And you don't have to do it in a distasteful manner, but you tell the truth, you tell what he's about, you tell what he's doing, because this gentleman let me know, Carl, bottom line is, this guy has so much backing from people that are willing to spend money and go out and vote to keep money coming to them. He's impossible to touch unless you can get people that aren't affected, that aren't paid somehow or benefits from MICA campaign, unless you can get them out to vote. And you're right that that didn't happen effectively, but we live and we learn. So,
all right. Well, and you know what else I was surprised about? I was surprised that the Tea Party is they have really good meetings, but I think they're all set up as 501c3s. Or they can't actually even back a candidate.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake.
Which it ties their hand, and that's around the country, that's really helped more conservative Republicans get elected.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that the decision for all these groups to go after that nonprofit status was a mistake. I simply do.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
All right. Don, I appreciate you being out there, man.
Enjoy the pizza.
All right. And you're going to have to come and join us at Cafe Positano in a week or so. How about that?
Oh, that sounds good. Take care.
All right. You do the same.
Bye.
All right, and once again, we want to thank Don for, you know, getting out there and running, and trying to do something. And as his daughter said, fighting for his country. And that's what we're trying to do around here, and that's what Pasquale's been doing with us now for 3.5 years, and we can't thank you enough, Pasquale. And this stuff, what'd you call it again, pizza wheel?
Yes.
It is delicious, absolutely. But it's not on the menu, right?
Oh. That's a shame. I would get a special
order. Special order, that's right. By the way, what are those little like donut ball like things that you made for me a couple times?
For dessert? Nuts or
No. They're dessert. It's a dessert. It's like a ball with cinnamon on it or something, and you can dip it in.
Zeppole.
Oh, Zeppole.
Zeppole. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Zeppole. That's right. And, folks, if you'd like to call and talk to us, once again, 407-774-8255 is the number. Let me see. When we come back from the break, we are going to be doing our Where Was That contest. And you'll have a chance to win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and get over there and try some of their excellent cuisine. And it's a great place. And then, once again, you can make reservations there. Of course, you can just walk in and you can order carry out as well, like Nostra Dennis does all the time.
All the time. Whenever my wife sees me going, she says, bring me home one of those chef salad with the grilled chicken on top. It's gotten me hungry
all
now.
All right. Yeah. And Vladimir Putin, he's gone too far, folks. First, it was Crimea. Second, it was the Ukraine. Now he has gone too far. What do I mean by that? Stick around, and I'll tell you in the next segment.
It's what's called in the business a teaser. And how about this one? How would you like to talk to people who've done 200 shows on a Sunday night? Well, ask us again in 90 minutes, because right now we've successfully completed 199 and a half of them. We're the American Adversaries on a Sunday night. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries. This is Carl Jackson sitting in studio with Christopher Hart, Nostra Dennis, Pasquale of Cafe Positano's. We have Lucas on with the head cam. We have Jeff Sennis, and we had our good friend Johnny Guns had to leave the studio for some personal matters. But I'm just going to ask you guys to pray for he and his family right now. I ask you to do that. And this is a segment that we all look forward to, except that we've renamed it this evening because, Chris just likes to mix it up like that here and there.
He's trying to confuse us.
Exactly right. Yeah. So instead of...
And you want to talk about also something about the ice cream?
Yes, we will. We will get to Italian ISIS.
That's what we're going to do.
We will get to that.
Italian ISIS.
But before we go there, we want to go to, instead of who said that, where was that?
That's right, folks. We've twisted it up a little bit for you tonight because the world is in such a twisted up mess. But instead of our Who Said That contest, we're going to do Where Was That? And it is being sponsored by Cafe Positano, which is why I'm sure it is so popular. Because if you get the question correct, you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt, compliments of Scott Miller of MyLibertyThreads.com. And all you have to do is call us up. up and give us the location, and you'll know what I mean here in just a segment. And of course, the number is 407-774-8255. And if you've won anything in the past few weeks, or anyone in your household over the past few weeks or a month or so, please give someone else a chance to win this. And this may be the night where you want to call and at least give it the first guess, because this one might be hard to get. If you know where this is, give us a call. Where did ISIS, that's right, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, where did ISIS already stage an attack inside the United States? That's right. ISIS has already staged an attack inside the United States. Didn't get much publicity at the time, but they did it. If you know where they or what they attacked, give us a call at 407-774-8255. Where did ISIS stage an attack already inside the United States?
If I were guessing, my guess would be inside of the White House, and this is the reason why the president is giving such tepid responses, because as he walks back behind the doors, ISIS is waiting for him and congratulating him and warning him.
You know, it's funny you should mention the reasons why Obama is not doing anything about ISIS. As you know, Chris, I have a friend who lives in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
We call him Deep Dumpster. And he, every now and then, has the opportunity.
That just threw me off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He in his travels around D.C., he has the opportunity to run across, shall we say, the stuff that comes out of the White House.
Wow.
Not talking about press releases.
Right.
I'm talking about the refuse that goes there. And later in the hour, we're going to go through what he found in the president's own handwriting. Top 10 reasons why I haven't done anything about ISIS. So
unbelievable.
It's going to be interesting.
Unbelievable.
You'll hear that a little later in the hour.
So, we're looking forward to that. But real quickly, the world is coming apart at the seams. While you were in Europe, Pasquale, did you talk with anybody about what's going on in the world and the United States' response to these things?
Yes, I did. But what I have to say, I don't think people in the U.S. were like me. I mean, again, I'm American citizen and I'm fighting with a few people over there. Well, they believe America do war everywhere. Like, you know, well, the problems the media put on TV only when an aeroplane threw some bomb down somewhere. I'm here, I live here, so I know when we attack somebody or when we do something, I know why we do.
Right.
So over there, they show only the kids die. It's like right now in Israel and Palestinian.
Right.
In Italy, Germany, I see a lot of people hate Israel, but I don't. I support Israel. Well, I don't want to live in a country where rockets fly over my head every day. And I know come a lot of people that come for Israel in my restaurant, and they tell me. They go on vacation there. Well, they still have a family down there in Israel, and they see rockets, and every sometimes 2-3 times a day, the sirena go on, and they have to go hiding.
Well, you know that the information they're getting is incomplete.
Yeah, it's incomplete.
It's totally biased.
So
they show
only kids die. Right. They show like 2,000 people that die. They think 2,000 civil that die. I mean, yes, they die some kids. War, it's war. And then on top of that, I mean, when you go war against these people, who is really the terrorist? Who is the civil? When they dress the same way, they shoot rocket for behind the hospital, for behind the house. So and then they go on the street like normal people. They dress like normal people. So what is Israel supposed to do?
And a report that a child was killed in Gaza. That child could have been 16 years old, holding a rocket-propelled grenade.
Absolutely. You know, the people who are there who condone the terrorists, they are part of the problem. The people who are there who don't condone the terrorists, they remind me of, did you ever see that movie, The Longest Day? John Wayne is in it, and a bunch of other stars are in it. At one point in the movie, when the United States or the Allied forces start shelling the coastline of France for the Normandy invasion, this one French guy, you know, he looks out his window, and when he sees the ships and they're bombarding basically him because he lives on the coast,
right,
he's jumping up and down, happy, going, yeah, liberation, vive la France, as he's being shot at, because he understands that that's what it's going to take to rid him and his country of the Nazi menace. And the people who are in the Middle East who don't want Hamas ruling them, they don't mind Hamas getting killed and them being put out in the process. Same thing is happening in Iraq. Many of the people who initially welcomed ISIS are now fearful of them and want them gone, no matter what that means. And you're absolutely right. All right, let's go to the phone lines, because we have some guesses for our where was that contest tonight. Where did ISIS already stage an attack inside the United States? And we've got some pretty good guesses on the line. First, we're going to go to Myra from Orlando. Thank you, Myra, for calling and listening to us tonight.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. And yourself?
Yes.
Okay, so where do you think it was?
I think it was Fort Hood with Major Hassan.
That is an excellent guess, and no, it's not.
Chris, be honest with you, before she was right, I saw this on a computer, that's what I was telling you, Fort Hood.
You were thinking that too?
A lot of people think that,
I was thinking that way.
Well, should we go ahead and give her a gift card?
She deserves it. Well, I was guessing the same thing.
Technically speaking, that's not correct, but...
But, yeah, I was going to say, technically, Nidal Hassan wants to be a part of ISIS.
Yeah, I was going to say he now wants to join the ISIS group, but he was not a member of ISIS at that time.
And that's officially been called workplace violence.
Yeah,
so.
But Myra, stay on the line and give your information to Jeff, and you'll get the $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, and if nobody else gets it correct, you'll get the T-shirt, too. But you're going to get a gift card anyway.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
Yes, I have.
And have you ever met Pasquale?
Not individually, not personally, no.
Well, you should.
Well, next time you go in there, ask for him. I'm sure he'd love to talk to you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Myra. And if you figure out another answer before somebody else gets it, we'll take that. We'll take your second guess.
Honestly, I don't know why no one is listening to me, because I still believe that the first attack was inside of the White House, which will explain why the president wore the suit that he did that's comparable to the terrorist garb.
But is being infiltrated, I guess that would qualify
it
as an attack.
Be, yeah. It could be,
It can be when he went in vacation and played golf. He was with somebody with ISIS over there.
Yeah.
I have a meeting on a golf cart.
I wouldn't be surprised. Let's go now to John from Oak Hill. He thinks he knows where ISIS already has staged an attack inside the United States. John, thank you for calling and listening.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
it. I'm going to try the first World Trade Center bombing.
Okay, yeah, no, that was not it. That was Sheikh, what was that guy's name, the Blind Sheikh, and a few other Al-Qaeda types. But it was not ISIS, formally speaking.
Same to me.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, John, you been in Cafe Positano before?
John?
No, sir.
Do you want, he said no, Pasquale.
Did you like having a gift certificate and come try our food?
I would.
All right, well, stay on the line, and you'll get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano.
I do want to
see it pays just to play around here,
that's
folks.
Right. Give a guess.
With Pasquale's.
Thank you.
Hey,
you're welcome, John.
We appreciate it.
And I've given two guesses, Pasquale, so remember that. But I do want to say this in on a serious note. ISIS isn't like what we've seen before from terrorists. They are much better. I mean, obviously, they have the same sick belief system, but they've become much better organized.
Well, they're more funded than any other terrorist group in history.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we've seen their...
Well, not only that, but it turns out that some of their leaders are ex-Iraqi military leaders under Saddam Hussein. So there's a great deal of professionalism that you didn't get with Al-Qaeda and these other terrorist groups.
And scientists as well.
Yeah, this is not the JV. This is not even the varsity. You know, this is the pro level.
It's the dream team.
Exactly. Pasquale.
No, it's okay. Well, it's...
Okay, all right, we'll go to the break. When we come back, we still have Pasquale Barba with us, and we're still looking for the place that ISIS has already attacked us inside the United States.
That's ISA. What we say, ice cream.
ISA, Republican congressman from California. ISIS, terrorist group. Ice cream, good stuff.
You may get a call on
Italian ISIS, we haven't figured that one out yet.
We'll be back.
Buonasera a tutti and welcome to the American Adversario. We are on a third round now or a fourth round?
End of the second round.
We need ice cream, correct?
That's
yeah,
right. That's
need
right.
Some ice cream.
But we've got some great pizza wheels that you brought to us tonight, Pasquale. Yeah. We really
too bad
appreciate
Lair's
that.
Not here because those pizza wheels just about gone now.
Oh, he should be here momentarily, but yeah, he'll be disappointed. All right, we're still looking for the location that ISIS, which was. Technically, it wasn't the ISIS group that we know in Iraq, but it was a forerunner of ISIS. It was an ISIS group who attacked us inside the United States, or at least tried to attack us.
And it wasn't the Taliban, and it wasn't Al-Qaeda?
No.
It wasn't the Republican Guard of Iraq?
No.
Hmm.
Even though some of the older Republican Guard of Iraq are now right. part of the leadership of ISIS. So in Europe, though, they think we're the warmongers. Is that what you were saying, Pasquale?
Yeah, yes. I mean, no, everybody. Don't misunderstand.
Yeah, right.
I mean, a lot of people, they love the American. But when we talk about politics, that's what them when they start, oh, why America gold thumbs in war? Why they don't stay home?
Right.
Well, and the problems, the Italian, they're pretty much, oh, nothing happened in Italy, so why I got to do something about it? So one day, when something happened, you see they will cry for help.
Well, you would think that since our current president doesn't want to get involved or do anything,
but
that would make that kind of mindset change, yes?
But one thing I got to say, when Obama went, everybody in Italy, Germany was happy Obama went. Hmm. Now I see they don't like that either.
They figured it out.
They don't like them because why? Because
Well, they see that maybe some people that come here on vacation and they talk to people and see people that are not happy.
They see that he isn't everything that he was cracked up
yes,
to be.
Yes, about the health care and
the whole nine yards
and all the other stuff.
Lowering the oceans and all that nonsense. He's just a bunch of fluff, and people in the rest of the world are now beginning to understand that, as are people here in the United States, slowly. So,
and again, it's so difficult. when you go there and you talk about politics, it's so difficult to make these people understand.
Yeah, because as you say, they're getting indoctrinated by their media. Yeah.
One conversation's not going to cure that.
No.
Absolutely. Just as, our media here tries to indoctrinate us. By the way, did you see that, what's the NBC Sunday morning talk
show? Meet the Depressed.
Meet the Depressed. They've named their new host.
Ah.
It's Chuckles Todd.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I actually think is probably going to be much better than Gregory.
Yeah, definitely.
He actually reminds me a little bit of Russert.
Hmm.
I mean, he'll ask the tough questions, usually with a smile on his face,
well,
too.
Well, now if he's doing that, he doesn't have to be in the White House press room to ask those questions.
Yeah. All right, we got a couple more callers. We'll go first to Sherry and Tanya. Hang on the line. But Sherry, you called first, so we'll take your call first. Thank you for calling, and thank you for being out there these past 4 years.
Oh, hey, it's a privilege.
Well, we appreciate that. We so much do.
I just called to congratulate you guys.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
On your 200th show.
Yeah, 200 Sunday nights. Yep.
Yeah, and listen, there for a while, this station went to sports and then business. They were business and they went sports. And then they started going back to a little bit more political talk.
Yep.
And they brought that pastor on. He was on Sunday night. I can't think of his name, but he's the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church over there in Seminole County.
Yes, I remember that.
Jeff,
sure.
Jeff said his name is Mike Frazier. I remember him.
Right,
now.
He was here when we started.
Yeah,
Mike.
Yeah.
But he promoted you guys for about 3 weeks in advance. He got everybody all riled up, getting ready to, to turn on the dial the minute you guys came on.
Yeah, and we appreciated that. Yeah, we really enjoyed Mike and talking to him because he had been in the business a long time and actually gave us some pointers. He was one of the fellows who gave us some pointers along the way, and we really appreciate him
very
much.
Yeah, I met him, too. I went over to church one day and met him. He's a really nice man. But I'd like to also thank Pasquale for being a sponsor.
Thank you.
And, it's people like you that get good talk radio on here. And I will say this, though, that this is the best show in Central Florida. I don't care whether you're down the dial, up the dial. I don't care how many years you've been on. But this is the best show. And you guys, every one of you, Nostradamus, Jeff, everybody, everybody just does such a great job. You guys get along. You're decent to your callers. You're not rude. You don't cut them off. You don't tell them, what's that one guy? He's always saying, you got to stick to the subject. No.
It's not Chris. I know that.
Yeah. Well.
And now I'm not. I want to make one more comment about being the best show, but I'm not saying it's not Carl too.
I can see the tears rolling down his cheeks.
I was crying, Sherry.
Well,
I'm part of the adversary.
Well, I was going to say, God, I kind of view Carl's show more or less as an extension of us.
So do
us,
I.
As
the
an
same.
Extension
sure.
of him.
He's,
right.
He's also an individual.
Yeah.
And every week I listen to him, and I have never, like I told him before, I have never missed one of his shows.
Thank
now
you so much.
Now he's missed three of his own.
That's right.
I kid you not, it's not because I'm lazy. I don't want to miss.
You missed a good one a couple
Sherry,
weeks ago.
I got to say something. They are great people, and just, I want to say something. He just, one of our friend, he just left, and he worked here. What's his name
Johnny,
again?
Johnny Gunn.
And he asked Chris, he said, Chris, I just got a text. Can I go? My aunt just died. I mean, he asked Chris, you think I can go or I got to stay? Look how much he put the heart into to be here.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, we do this not because we're getting oodles of dollars to do it. We do it because we love doing it.
Oh, I know that. But any time I listen to Johnny Gunn, I don't know what he looks like, but he always looks like he's got a smile on his face.
And he does.
Yeah.
Except for tonight.
And he, like when he tells a story or something, it's like he's smiling and he's always so happy.
He looks just like the story he tells.
And I will pray for him and the family and everything. And I just want to say this is such great entertainment. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I set everything aside on Sunday nights and five to. I told all my members, don't call me between five and six during the day, okay? Because I will not answer the phone.
Well, God bless you, Sherry. We thank you so very much, and thank you so much for being there. And Pasquale, we can give her a $20 card.
No. Give it to somebody else.
No, we're not going to do it.
Listen,
no.
One more thing, and I know I'm taking up a lot of time.
That's all right.
I just want to say that. John Micah reminds me of a Smurf.
Oh, my goodness.
The more he lies and the more he brags on himself, the bluer he gets.
Wow.
The bluer we get, too.
Yeah. No, difference. No, blue.
I know.
I mean red, but blue.
Yeah. You're
in terms of giving us the blues.
Oh, yeah, that, too.
All right. Thank you so much, Sherry.
I love every one of you guys.
Well, wow, thank you, Sherry.
We love you, too.
Thank you.
Appreciate your loyalty. We can't duplicate that.
That's one person. This is crazy. Sherry is one person I can't wait to meet someday. I'm not a guy that I don't get all starstruck, believe it or not, except with some Christian powerhouse people. But the idea of people that listen and appreciate, there's no feeling like that. It's just amazing.
I'm the same way. I look up to them.
But now we have Tanya online and went for Wenda Park.
Yeah.
Tanya, you there?
Tanya, thank you for calling.
Hello?
Hi, yes, Tanya. How you doing this evening? Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening.
I'm kind of nervous. I've never called anywhere before.
We're your friends.
You called the wrong show.
We'll be gentle.
Absolutely. We'll make it fun for you.
I've been listening to you all for quite a while.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate you being out there.
Tanya, that's Pasquale for Cafe Positano. Don't be so shy. And if you call on next Sunday again, we give you a gift certificate now for next time. If you win or not, we give you one anyway. So.
All right. We'll make sure you stay on the line so Jeff can get your information.
Yeah, but she won't guess it.
I know. Tell us where you think ISIS staged an attack inside the United States.
I think it was the electrical grid in California.
Well, you know, we don't know for sure. We can't say for sure or not. But I tell you what, since we can't say for sure, we'll accept that.
Yeah.
You'll get a $20 gift card, and we'll send you a T-shirt.
Simply. Yeah, but she got a call also next Sunday.
Okay.
Let's say hi.
Make a date.
So we break the ice.
Okay. All right, Tanya. All right, Tanya. Officially, it's not right, but we can't say it's wrong either. So we'll declare you a pseudo-winner.
Pasquale will buy you a dinner on the second date.
There you go. All right, Tanya. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See, that wasn't so bad. Bye. That wasn't so bad, was it? And by the way, you didn't sound nervous at all, so bless your heart. We thank you for being out there.
Thanks.
All right. And we'll go now to Ed from Orlando, who thinks he knows where ISIS attacked the United States inside its borders. Ed, thank you for calling and listening. We appreciate you being out there. And so, who do you think, where was it?
I believe it was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No, it wasn't Minneapolis, Minnesota. But
what happened to Clothes?
Although it will be one day.
So me and my godmother were having a little conversation. I thought it was at the airport there.
No.
What happened at the airport up there?
No, you're not right. Have you ever called the show before?
Nope.
I didn't think so. I didn't recognize your voice. Pasquale?
Did you been in Cafe Positano before?
No.
Okay, and then stay in line. We'll give you a gift certificate. You need to know us a little bit better.
You need to go to Cafe Positano, so we're going to give you a $20 gift card too, Ed. We appreciate it.
Hey, I was listening to you guys on the way to work, so that's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And you guys were having an interesting conversation about the whole ISIS thing.
Yes.
Why does the United States even care, really, to be honest with you? I mean, they're going to kill themselves. Let them do it.
Well, if that were the case, I would agree with you.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
exactly.
They're not going to just do that. They have bigger goals in mind.
But, I have to
go to the break, Ed. But all right. Well, thank you for calling, and stay on the line so we can get that information from you. And we'll try to address your question and your point because it's a good one.
Okay.
1 hour left for the American Adversaries. Keep it right here. Be right back.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. A division of Salem.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
All right, and we are feeling really good tonight on our 200th edition of the American Adversaries Classic Sunday Hour, now 3-hour tour, entering into our third hour here tonight. I am Christopher Hart in the studio now with Nostradamus, our executive producer.
I believe the term is fat and happy.
And I was going to say, we've got our stomachs full. It's a beautiful end of the summer evening here, the last day of August, and Labor Day weekend, and of course, we hope you're out there enjoying it. No better way to enjoy it than have some pizza and eat that. And of course, the only place to get good, real pizza around here is Cafe Positano, in my opinion. 407-774-8080 is their phone number over there. And they have a fine dining room and carry out and casual dining and full bar and ladies' night on Thursday night. And a lot of great entertainment there over the weekend as well. And we also have Lucas in Paris, who has us up on the head cam on Ustream.tv. And you can go to Ustream.tv and type in American Adversaries, and there we will be. You'll be able to see us in the studio as we eat our pizza wheels, and they are delicious. Where's Lair? I don't know. Lair should be on his way here. He was having car troubles earlier, but he's going to miss out on the pizza wheels there, Lair. You're going to be mad. And Jeff Sinis is on the bridge tonight. Carl had to leave to meet with his wife, and as you heard earlier in the show, Johnny Guns had to leave because they had a death in the family. And please send your prayers out to Johnny, and we'll miss his WTF news segment tonight as a result. By the way, if you go to Ustream.tv, there's a little chat box there, and you can write in messages to us. Lucas will transmit them to us and read them over the air. And you can even make guesses to our Where Is That contest that we're playing tonight. If you know where the location is that ISIS has already attempted to attack us inside the United States, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255, and you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt if you know where that is. I'll give you a couple of hints. Congressman Peter King revealed this location this morning on, I believe it was Fake the Nation on CBS. And also, the lady who called earlier and guessed Fort Hood was on the right track. It was a military installation.
Mm.
It was a military installation. So if you know where ISIS tried to attack and what the military installation was in the United States, inside the border of the 48 contiguous states of the United States, give us a call, 407-774-8255. I see that we had Patricia Summerlin, Sunny, our now Arizona glow girl, on the line. Did we drop that call? Okay, the call dropped, so Jeff's working to get her back on the line. And as soon as we do, we'll talk to Sunny, who just moved from Los Angeles, downtown L.A., to Arizona.
Very
and
nice.
And is experiencing a bit of a culture shock, if you will.
Oh, I'll bet. Hey, and just so you know, that stuff I got out of that dumpster in the White House, we're going to talk about during what would normally be the WTF news segment at the 7:30 break.
And that is the top 10 reasons why Barack Obama hasn't done anything, about ISIS.
A lot of real good stuff in here, man.
Yeah, and I just want to respond real quickly to Ed's question there as we went into the break, which is, why should we care what ISIS is doing over there?
And there's a lot of people who echo that sentiment.
And it is a legitimate concern. And would that problem, were it that that problem, would it that that problem would stay over there, I would agree. And of course, that's the libertarian position. Founders like George Washington said to stay out of these foreign conflicts. But the problem is it never stays over there. First of all, if ISIS is successful, they will hold the rest of the world hostage in terms of the Middle East resources and oil. And that will shock the economy around the world. Also, they will stage attacks. They aren't going to be satisfied with just portions of northern Iraq and Syria. They're going to want to go farther. They've already attacked border towns in Lebanon. They have designs on Syria. They have designs on conquering the world. This is what you must understand, is that we are in a worldwide conflict, not of our choosing. And if we don't fight it over there, we're going to end up fighting it over here. There is no question about that.
And they are targeting and killing Christians. They're targeting and killing Jews. They're targeting and killing what they would call not good Muslims, unfaithful Muslims.
Absolutely. And as I said, if you want to say, well, that's what they want to do in there, the problem is it doesn't stay there. That was our attitude with Afghanistan. Remember with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda? Okay, well, they were in Afghanistan. They were the Taliban's problem, right? Wrong.
That was our attitude in World War II for the first couple of years of that battle.
Absolutely. So we just can't afford to stand idly by. We have to deal with these issues, and we have to deal with them now. And that's what George W. Bush understood. Unfortunately, he allowed himself to be berated away from his original, either you're with us or against us attitude, because that is the attitude that we must take now, and we must take it as quickly as possible before this gets out of hand. You're starting to hear a lot of talk about building a coalition. What we need to do is build an allied force, like we did in World War II, to address this in a magnitude and on a scale like we did in World War II. That is the only way we are going to be effective in dealing with this. All right, we're still trying to get Sunny back on the line, but in the meantime, let's go to Marshall, who hasn't called us for a while. Marshall, thank you for being with us tonight.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Marshall. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
I want to say a sincere prayer for Johnny Gunn and his family.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that.
And you guys, I can't say enough about your show. It's
good or bad? You can't say enough good or bad about us. I'm sorry, Marshall.
You guys on Sunday night keep me balanced.
Well, we appreciate that. That's what we're trying to do here, a bit of a balancing act in the sense that we're trying to balance out the BS with some real truth. So we appreciate that. And we appreciate you being out there and being such a loyal listener, too. I know you've been around pretty much from the start, haven't you, Marshall?
From day one.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Man, we really appreciate that.
Carl's doing a great job. I very rarely miss his show. Occasionally, I'm not up that early, but he does a great job. I just want to let you guys know I just mimic everything Sherry said.
Well, we appreciate that, Marshall. And, boy, I just can't thank you all enough. The kind words are really very much appreciated, and I must say, especially at this time. So
welcome back, Pasquale. I just He's still got the best Italian restaurant in this town, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
And you are absolutely right about that, Marshall. And we got a gift card coming to you, too, so we appreciate you being out there, man.
That's all right. Listen, God bless you all, and you all take care, and you have a great night.
All right, you Thanks. Do the same.
And you know what else Pasquale's good at? What? Finding good internet memes. I'm going to show you this, Chris.
What's
Obama's strategy on ISIS. He's going to eat them where he finds them, especially the Italian kind.
The Italian ISIS. Okay.
Here, hold that in front of our Ustream. There we go. Lucas, all right, well, center that, would you?
Well, we put that on Ustream.tv. We're going to go back now. We have Sonny, Patricia Summerlin, our now brand new Arizona
Woo-hoo!
Gorgeous lady of wrestling gal. Hey, Sonny, how you doing in sunny Arizona?
I was going to say, guys, that doesn't quite... I don't know. It's just not flowing. What is up with that? yeah, Sonny can't go surf, I don't think.
No, I don't think the sand and surfboards go together.
Oh, no.
Not desert sand, anyway. Beach sand,
maybe. Well, I'm really standing for my name, the Sunnyburn, you guys, you know, and the turnbuckle or the ropes. But out here, you don't need either to get that burn. It's scorching hot, and it's 107 degrees.
But it's a dry heat.
Yeah, right. Tell me all about that. 107, still 107. Well, you're settled in, and so what's it like? I mean, it's a big change from downtown Los Angeles. Now, where do you live exactly? I mean, the city in Arizona.
I am in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, okay.
Yeah, I face what they call Camelback Mountain. It's kind of cool, you know, real pretty and all, but it's all flat. I don't see any tall buildings or anything out my window.
That must be a shock to you, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And Phoenix is a big city, but it's nowhere near Los Angeles.
Yeah, let's just throw in the heat, guys. The heat. I'm like, Sonny is not happy. I can't go on my surfboard and hop on the... You know, the nearest wave in the ocean.
Yeah, like, get cooled off by that Pacific Ocean water.
However, I did experience downtown Phoenix. There is tall buildings. It's probably about a quarter size of our downtown Los Angeles. It's kind of cool, but, you know, a little quiet. No people milling around. Maybe a few business people. And one nice cop, you know, and you know how I love cops.
Yeah.
So I had to go say hi to him. And yeah, that's about it. Way, way different. So different, you know. So now I just smile and I'll just smile for days and no one's going to notice because no one's around.
Well, you know, they also have some sports teams out there and the L.A. teams come and visit them a couple times a year. So you'll get to get your fix.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I'm standing by my Kings.
You better.
I went into my sports pub yesterday. It's Duke's, it's called Duke's, and there was like several screens on. And I guess that, you know, what is it? The Diamondbacks and other teams on my own. No, Dodgers, Angels, Kings, Lakers. I stand for them, and everyone turned around and looked at me. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm a Cali girl. Like it. I am here now. In your territory, ready to take over.
it's a bit different there, though, in terms of like the attitudes towards guns.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This is the Wild West, guys. You know, Indian and cowboys, there's no win. It's just pure free-for-all. Anybody can carry a gun. And, you know, the scariest part is like you can be on your cell phone. So when I was here, everyone's trying to talk to me. The maintenance guy is, I'm going to my new property here, and I go, I have to put my cell phone down. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get in trouble. The cops are going to get me. I got to put my cell phone down. He's like, Trish, calm down. You can be on your cell phone here. And I'm like, no, I can't get used to this, guys. I got to hang up. Sorry. Let me hang up. I'll call you when I get to the office. You know, but it's scary because if you get pissed off at someone being on their cell phone, you can just shoot them.
You know? but you'll have your own gun so you can shoot back, right?
Right. You better believe it. And then the speed limit here. Oh, my gosh, I thought L.A. was bad. It's just we drive fast and crazy in the traffic. These people drive fast and crazy with no traffic, and it's scary.
Wow.
Like, oh, gosh. And you can carry a gun in the heat and be on your cell phone. It's like, wait a minute.
Some people would say that's the best of all possible worlds.
You would think. But well, I'm going to be ducking and chucking here if I tell you what,
you got out of L.A. just in time. Not only did you miss the earthquakes, but you also missed out. The legislature just passed a law. They're going to charge 10 cents, I think it is, for plastic bags or paper bags.
That's coming here, I hear.
The legislature also passed that positive or whatever it is consent law. You have to have definite consent before, if you're a college student, before you can have sex.
Yes means yes.
Sign here, please. I hope that helps out there in the world.
And whatnot. Yeah, and the utility company in San Diego just announced that they want to raise the rates on all of their customers so that they can build recharging stations for their rich customers who drive electric cars. How nice of them. So you got out of town just in time, girl.
I did. I know. San Fran really hit Napa Valley, I guess. It was a quake. Nice size.
Yeah, the quake, the earthquake, yeah.
Yeah, it was damaging. You know, we don't get those here. We just get the monsoons, which I'm waiting for that. Now we get all the water, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I can actually go out and water the grass. It needs it so bad. I can do that every day and as much as I want during the day. I go, wait, this just isn't right. I just came from L.A. where you get fined for doing this. You know,
it's going to take you a little while to learn how to be free again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of it is. Except you're not free. You're confined underneath the air conditioning if you're smart.
Yeah, you know? Well, wait for the winter. It'll be much more pleasant.
Sunny, is there a nightlife out there in Phoenix?
You know, I've experienced the nightlife during the week. And I got to say, we went to a cool place called Flicka's. I met the owner, real nice guy, and my friend, the maintenance guy, had to mention, you know, she was in Playboy. Oh, well, drinks are on you. And I'm looking around. There's only about two people in the whole place. You know, oh, and she was that pro wrestler, Sunny, too. Oh, well, you can have another drink.
Yeah, why not?
Well, thanks. You know, and I'm nudging the guy and going, yeah, sure, go ahead and use me and abuse me. But I go, where's the people? Oh, you got to come in on a Saturday night. Our nightlife here is great on a Saturday. And I said, okay, then I'm coming in. But I have not as yet been there yet.
I guess that's when all the cowboys come into town or something like that.
Cowboys and Indians and, you know.
Hey, Sonny, we just have a couple minutes left here. Over the 2 weeks that we didn't have you on the air, Robin Williams committed suicide, and it was a tragic thing. And I know that you know a lot of people who knew Robin Williams, and actually you had the opportunity to meet him on an occasion, I believe, didn't you?
Yes, yes, I did. And what a sad tragedy. Really, really sad. Yes, I did in the 80s when I was doing Bodies by Jake. Everybody's probably heard of Jake Seinfeld and his equipment back then.
Yeah.
I was, in the Glendale Studios, and they were actually rehearsing for HBO, Billy Crystal and Robin Williams right next door to me. And I had taken a bathroom break and went into the bathroom and came back out. They were standing there, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And they're tiny. I'm 5'10". So I'm looking, I'm like, oh, God, they're so tiny. But, oh, my God, that's Robin Williams and Billy Crystal. Holy crap. Oh, that's amazing. And they're just going back and forth on their impromptu. They don't rehearse, guys. These guys are natural.
Right.
And Robin Williams said something like, oh, isn't she a beauty? Tall glass of water, something like that. Tall. I can't even honestly remember. And I heard it, and I looked again, and I chuckled. And he's like, yes, you're right, darling. You're a looker. And he said something like that. And Billy Crystal said, yeah, boy, I'm right about here. And they mentioned, you know, where my boobs are. And I'm like, oh, boy, I ran back in that place. But what an amazing, both of them. And it's so sad. It's just sad to hear that, you know. And Lauren Bacall, too, by the way, which was an icon, and she's a legend. And, you know, and before I go off, I want to do a shout-out, by the way, and I know you guys have known that. You've heard me mention Joe Bashar, my hiking buddy.
Yep.
His father has been admitted in the hospital, and they're not sure what's going on. They're running tests, but they thought it was a mild stroke. And he's 83, and his name is Don. And I want to get the prayer line going for his dad. And also Lair Adams. I heard you guys mention that while I was
Johnny Guns.
I'm sorry, Johnny Guns.
Yeah,
I'm
Johnny
sorry.
Guns. Yeah.
What I wish him and his family all the best, too. My prayers go to him as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sonny. We appreciate it and glad to have you back.
Absolutely. And, now I got to get you guys' names all right again, though. Darn.
We're going to have to get you some Roxy Pacifics for that sunburn that you're going to get out there in Arizona. That's for sure.
I know. I love that stuff. Everyone should have a bottle.
You're absolutely right about that.
Yes.
All right, Sonny. Thanks so much. And you take care of yourself. We'll
talk to you next. Love you guys. Big hugs and sunny smiles.
All right. We appreciate that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. So we'll be right back after this very short break. Okay. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We'll take you till 8 o'clock. John Butler Book. I was just talking to him in the other studio. He's getting ready to come on, and he'll take you live until 9 on WTLN 950. And he's going to be talking about voter fraud tonight. So I'm sure it's going to be an excellent show.
There's no such thing as voter fraud. You can't prove that.
Yes, yeah.
That lady from Cincinnati, Meloise, voted 5 times.
And bragged about it. So you'll get a great show from John Butler Book tonight. We're still in the studio. I'm Christopher Hart. Nostra Dennis is here. Pasquale Barba, our great sponsor from Cafe Positano, is here. Lucas Paris has us up on Ustream.tv, and you can give us messages there. You can even take a guess on our Who Said That contest through that app.
We don't have a winner, do we?
We still do not have a winner of our Where Is That contest, and we're looking for the location that ISIS staged an attack inside the United States. Now, Marshall, who was just on the line, had the answer, but because he won last week, he's ineligible this week. But
thank you, Marshall.
He knew what it was. So I know the answer is out there. I'll give you a couple of hints. First of all, Congressman Steve King revealed this on Fake the Nation this morning. Second of all, it is an Army military installation here in the United States, an Army installation.
Mm-hmm. Which would mean it begins with the word?
Fort.
Okay.
But it
Fort
was
something.
Not Fort Hood. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it is Fort something. Mm-hmm. If you know where ISIS already staged an attack.
Fort Lee, New Jersey?
No, wasn't Fort Lee, New Jersey. Now you know two forts that it wasn't.
Okay.
Okay. And it wasn't Fort Bragg either, I'll tell you that. But it was a fort, a military army post here in the United States, 407-774-8255. You'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. And all of the winners or all the callers that we got tonight who have not gotten a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics are going to get that as part of their package as well.
So, nice.
So Myra and Ed and all you guys, you'll get a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. It's all natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin, whether it be a sunburn, a cooking burn, a scratch, a cut. If you have diabetes, this is great for those hard-to-heal wounds and sores and chronic conditions, throat conditions like laryngitis or a sore throat. This stuff is great. It's all totally safe. You can use it on your kids. Your kids can use it on themselves. You can use it on your pets. And if you can get a pet to do it, they can use it on themselves too. And just like Sonny said, everybody needs to have some of this stuff. You need to have some in your glove compartment or your purse. You need to have some at in the medicine cabinet at home. That's where I keep mine, and I keep some in my car, and I'm constantly using it because as a carpenter, I'm constantly getting little nicks and scratches and splinters and things, and this is great for that sort of thing.
Little one-ounce bottle will fit in your pocket. You can bring it anywhere.
Absolutely, and once again, it is totally safe, and if you'd like to find out more about it, go to roxypacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net, or you can give Ed a call at 619-654-4829. And it really is great stuff. So once again, we are looking for a winner to our Where Was That contest? Where did ISIS attack us, or at least try to attack us, inside the United States? What army fort was it? Take a guess, folks. What's the first fort that jumps into your mind? It might be right.
F Troop Fort?
No, not
it
that
It was
one.
The Hakawi.
All right, when we come back, more from Pasquale and the top 10 reasons why Obama has not done anything about ISIS.
You're not going to believe it, folks.
Oh! Welcome again to the American Adversarian. And I hope everybody call in. Well, we have a gift certificate waiting for you. So now we have John from Oak Hill.
Oak Hill, that's right. John, thanks for calling back.
Yeah, I believe I remember hearing something when you said Fort Rutger.
Oh, gosh. You're close, but no, it wasn't. Oh. It wasn't. John, thanks for calling again, though, and we got your information. So you are going to get a $20 gift card, right? Yeah, we do have his information. All right, thank you.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you. We appreciate you being out there. Should I give one more hint?
Well, we already know it's a fort. How many forts are there in America?
Let's just say that this particular fort is a very famous fort and was depicted in a movie where it was being attacked, if you will, by terrorists. In a movie. All right? In a movie that came out, I believe, in the 60s.
So what's the name of the fort?
You're not going to trick me. Nope. All right, while we wait for another call, let's go to the top 10 list of, what is it again, Asher Dennis?
Yeah, this is from our D.C. source. His name is Deep Dumpster, and he was rummaging through the White House trash compactor. For some reason, they don't leave that guarded at night. And he just happened to see something that caught his eye, and it's Obama's little left-handed handwriting. He wrote down the top 10 reasons I haven't done anything about ISIS. Oh. And he called me right away and he said, you got to read these. So
love
here
to
I
hear
am going
to
read these. By the way, Michelle really isn't eating too many vegetables as goes the dumpster contents. She's, you know, the paper cupcake wrappers, there are a lot of them in there. So
and old French fry things from McDonald's,
yeah,
right?
And the Satis fries. They don't make them anymore because she ate them all. Let's go on. The top 10 reasons Obama hasn't done anything about ISIS. Reason number 10, it's George Bush's fault.
Of course.
Reason number 9, it would take too much time to hire back all the military personnel we've let go over the past 5 years. By then, it would be too late.
Well, right about that.
Reason number 8, as I said in one of my two best-selling autobiographies, should the political winds turn in an ugly direction, I will stand with the Muslims, and I can't break a promise like that.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Number 7. The first reports we heard contained inaccurate information. We thought they said they were sending ICE to Iraq, and we figured, well, it's hot there. They could use some. Okay. The number 6 reason why Obama hasn't done anything about ISIS. It's George Bush's fault. The number 5 reason. The billion rounds of ammunition purchased by Homeland Security were meant to be used as kind of a rainy day fund, and it's not raining in Tikrit.
Oh.
The number 4 reason. Unlike those dopey T-shirts, I rather get stopped by Ferguson PD than ISIS terrorists.
Oh, that hurts.
Number 3. I didn't have enough time to appoint an ISIS oversight czar.
Oh.
The number 2 reason Obama hasn't done anything about ISIS. Did I mention it's George W. Bush's fault?
Oh, that should have dawned on you.
Yeah. And the number 1 reason Obama has done nothing about ISIS. I've got a pen. And I've got a phone. Unfortunately, I haven't got a spine.
Oh, that one hurts. That one hurts. All right. Oh, top 10 reasons. He can come up with all kind of reasons why not to do things,
sure,
can't he?
You know, sure.
When he wants to.
Alibis.
Yeah, absolutely. And the latest one is he's being cautious. Cautious is not an excuse to do nothing,
sir. That's Dianne Feinstein's take. Yeah, he's being too cautious. He's too nice a guy.
And she's right. Hi-fi, die-fi is right on that. He has been way too cautious. But he likes to say he's being cautious, and that's the image that they would like to portray. But it's not cautious. It's clueless. Okay? It's the other C word. Clueless. The man is clueless when it comes to that. He's also clueless when it comes to stuff like what happened in Ferguson, Mississippi.
Missouri.
Did I say Mississippi? I'm sorry. Yeah, Ferguson, Missouri. He sees this simply in terms of being a political opportunity and not in terms of being the huge problem that it is. And certainly it is a huge problem. And what I mean by that is inner city gang violence. And as it turns out, this guy, this kid, Michael Brown, was on the same path as Trayvon Martin, and that is to be a gangsta, you know, do the gangsta rap, live the gangsta lifestyle of crime and drug use and that whole, you know, shtick, if you will.
And he already looked like Biggie, 300 pounds?
Yep. So, you know, you go down that path and it leads to that conclusion, doesn't it, Pasquale? I mean,
100%.
Yeah. And
meanwhile, I know you haven't heard about the shooting in Utah.
No.
You haven't heard the shooting in Utah? That's because no one hears about it because no one talks about it in the media. It was white and black, and it was a cop and an unarmed teenager. Well, this time the cop was black and the unarmed teenager was white, who had no criminal record in the past. I would give you all the details, but they're so hard to come by because nobody is talking about these cases.
Yep.
These are the exceptions.
The mother still waiting for the evidence, but she don't make a big deal about it. She's waiting when the time comes.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of this violence is black on black violence, which doesn't make it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference because it's just black on black violence, according to the media.
Yeah. Well, you can, as I said, you can trace both of these young men's in terms of Trayvon Martin and this kid, Michael Brown, 18-year-old, and he was a kid. I mean, he was the size of a man, but he was a kid inside, and that's why he made those stupid mistakes. And but you can trace a lot of it to the gangsta culture. I mean, it goes right to the heart of that culture. And until that culture is rejected by black leaders and by black people themselves, it's going to lead to this type of unfortunate tragedies.
You know the rap group NWA. You know what the N stands for. It's the N-word. You know what the A stands for. Attitude.
Yeah.
With attitude. And the attitude was what got him into trouble.
Unfortunately so. Okay, it looks like we got, do we have another caller? Hold on. We'll hold on just a second. No, we're still looking for a whole bunch of callers.
We'll wait till it comes up.
Well, all right, let's see what Jeff's got for. Okay, Jeff's getting it ready for us. We got some callers who think that they know where ISIS, the fort, the famous fort that ISIS tried to attack inside the United States here. And if the caller gets it right, she'll get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads T-shirt.
You want to throw in one or two of your what you were going to add to Johnny's WTF? Because I see it on the outline here. I want to know what the Shakespeare series is.
Okay.
That sounds good.
All right. I'll do that really quickly. First of all, I want to add to the Johnny's list of WTF news. The gun lovers make greenies happy. What do I mean by that? Have you ever heard of the Pittman-Robertson Act of 1937?
Never.
All right, that is what set up a special federal program funded by gun and ammunition sales, which go to nature conservation. Never has that fund been so well funded as under President Obama, because there have been so many guns and ammunition sales thanks to this joker.
It's booming.
All right. And as far as the Shakespeare series goes, you've heard of Shakespeare, of course. Well, there's a Shakespeare series in England where this troupe of actors goes around to pubs. They go from pub to pub, and they'll go in, and they'll buy a beer, they'll buy a drink, and then they'll stand there, and they will recite a bit of a Shakespeare play.
Wow.
For the patrons and tourists who seldom know really what's going on. So it's the Shakespeare series. And real quickly, earlier I teased that Vladimir Putin has done it now.
Yeah, what was that about?
He's gone too far. First of all, he invaded and took Crimea. Now he is invading and in the process of taking the Ukraine. That wasn't enough, though. Now he's really gone too far.
Oh, boy.
He's closing down McDonald's restaurants in Moscow.
No!
Now he has really gone and done it.
No!
Yes.
Where am I going to get my McBorscht?
Okay. All right. Let me see what Jeff's got up here on it. Kathy and Sixto on line 1 and 3, both guessing one thing. Roger and Officer Steve are guessing another thing. All right. Let's go to Kathy, and she can speak also for Sixto. Kathy, thank you for calling. Sixto, don't go away. Kathy, where do you think, what fort was it?
Well, I've been holding a long time. I hope I didn't hold for no reason at all, but I'm guessing Fort Dix.
Well, you are wrong, but you did not hold for no reason at all. Tell her, Pasquale.
I'm hungry for pizza now.
Tell
okay,
her.
Then be wait online, and we give you $20 gift certificate, so we
Thanks,
get your information.
Pasquale. I've been to Cafe Positano many times. It's a great restaurant, so thank you.
Thank you, Kathy, for calling, and make sure we get your information. Make sure Jeff has your information.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, and Sixto, were you going to say the same thing?
Yeah, I sure was.
You were going to say Fort Dix as well. All right. Yep. Pasquale, can we do something for Cisco?
We have to.
All right, Sixto, you will get a $20 gift card as well. All right.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, stay on the line. All right, now we have a new caller, another new caller tonight, and we appreciate all you new callers, and, of course, we appreciate all you folks who have been listening forever, and we thank you so much for that. Roger, and thank you for calling, and you think you know what fort ISIS attempted to raid.
Yeah, they killed quite a few there. Fort Hood?
No, it was not Fort Hood. We thought you were going to say something else. Is Roger?
Yeah, this is Roger.
Okay, Fort Hood is not it. We had that guest early, a caller guest that earlier. Now, Roger, you will get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano.
Okay.
All right. Now, pay attention to this music, folks. All right. What series was this music from? What series? And then apply that to the question, and you will come up with the answer. All right. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
It's a hint.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks, and we appreciate you being out there, and we appreciate all the calls that we're getting. We're getting our phone lines flooded as people call in who think that they know the fort that ISIS tried to attack here in the United States, and we'll get to those callers here in just a moment. But right now we have Larry, who did manage to get through, and he's got his closing comments for us tonight. So for the 200th time, it's Larry's closing comments. Larry.
Hey, thank you, buddy. I got to tell you, I'm really, I'm so proud to do this, but I have to say this. My heart really goes out to my friend Johnny Guns.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. This fellow is a quiet guy. Sometimes when people are quiet, they say more. And Johnny is always on the ball, so the best of everything. And Chris, to your point, too, you're right. When it came to that thing in Ferguson, the kid was the size of a man, but he was the age of a kid. I got exactly what you meant with that.
Yep.
All right, folks, let me ask you a question. How are you feeling tonight? Or maybe more specifically, what are you feeling at this time? I ask this because feelings are what drive all human beings on this planet to do what they do. We choose things according to our feelings because they promise us nirvana as long as we give in to them. And apparently it doesn't matter whether the feelings are good or bad, since throughout our history, there have been plenty of both. What is really crazy about feelings is how humans can feel good when they know someone else feels so bad. Hold on now. I know you think I'm not talking about you. Well, but I am. You see, it's actually very normal. We want the other team to lose. And all their fans to go home hurt, disappointed. Admit it. You want the other candidate to be beaten and his supporters left deflated and dejected. You want the wives, lovers, children, and family of the enemy your military is up against to suffer unbelievable hurt. Don't feel bad. These are part of the harsh realities of modern life. Just like so many businesses who are out to hurt the competition. And how many of you want your exes to suffer unbelievable agony? Well, at least you keep that thought talked away, hopefully. Thankfully, most people on this planet do not wish suffering on their fellow man, but so many do. With all the horrific examples we have in our past of man hurting man, and yes, I'm including women, wouldn't you think, as intelligent creatures, we had gotten it right by now? Around our globe, peace is in short supply. Even in so many so-called peaceful nations, their inner cities have the same problems as in America, with ethnic, racial, and cultural clashes based on hurt, hurt feelings, and hurt expectations. We all have seen how people who hurt so often want to hurt others. It's one of those feelings that is like, well, it's like a hot potato they have to throw to someone else. But around our world, it seems there are more and more people that want to hurt someone or some group of people to make that hurt go away. Or maybe that's not it at all. There are members of our species that live for the hurt, to inflict pain, dominance, and death gives them the thrill of the animal savage. To conquer and overlord others means everything. You see them in wars and in mindless mobs, and they're all driven by a variety of feelings. Which brings me back to my original question, friends, which is, how are you feeling tonight? I know you'll have a great week, everyone. You see, I have a feeling about it. And Chris, you and Dennis and everyone has done a great job tonight. When my car works, I'll be back down there, I swear, tomorrow morning.
Well, hopefully you can hear us on the radio anyway.
Well, yeah, I could. And even in the tow truck. I made the tow truck driver listen to you guys.
It's okay, Larry. We got an extra slice of pizza today.
Yeah, we saved you a little pizza.
Pizza wheels for the guy with the car that's not working, huh?
I'm really upset about that. I've been buying pizza for these guys the last three or four times for Polly. I bought the pizza. I'm not there tonight, and you bring in a pizza. I'm really upset.
Pasquale's nodding and smiling. All right, Larry, well, we appreciate you, man. And if it wasn't for Larry Adams, folks, we would none of us be here because he's the one who had the idea for this whole stick.
And so, you guys have the best show. And again, Chris, what you said right on with that kid in Ferguson, it was right on.
All right, appreciate you.
You guys have a great night.
And so were your closing comments.
God bless, Larry.
And we look for 200 more weeks of that stuff.
All right.
There you go. All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines now. We do have a correct answer, and actually three people have the correct answer. So all three of you will get the winning prize of a $20 gift card and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. Real quickly, though, I want to go to Myra, who's called back. Myra, what do you think where the fort was?
Fort Sill.
It was not Fort Sill. But now we do have your information, correct?
Okay, yes.
Okay, you will still get the $20 gift card and a bottle of Roxy Pacific.
But only one.
Okay.
All right. Next, now we also have Officer Steve from Altamont, Roger from Apopka, and Gary from Tokyo. Is that right, Jeff? Tokyo? All right, well, let's go to Gary from Tokyo, who has the correct answer, as well as Roger and Steve. So, Roger and Steve, you will be winners as well, along with Gary from Tokyo. But since he's calling from the longest distance, we'll go to Gary from Tokyo. How's it going, man?
Am I live?
Yes, you are, Gary.
Yeah.
Are you really calling? Monday morning here in Tokyo, and I'm guessing Fort Knox.
Well, by golly.
Wow,
it
bravo.
Was Fort Knox.
Domo arigato, Gary.
How did you know that?
I'm listening to you live, as I do every Monday morning in Tokyo.
Well, God bless you for that. We appreciate you for doing that, Gary. I tell you what, you are correct. It was Fort Knox. You will win the gift card. You're going to have to come a long way to use it, but I hope you do. And you'll also get the My Liberty Threads t-shirt and a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, man. Thanks for calling.
Well, I'm traveling home for my vacation to Houston in 2 days.
Great.
So you can send it to my mom's address in Houston. That would work great.
Good deal.
You got it, man. We will do just that. And thank you so much.
I love listening to you guys. It's a great way to wake up on Monday morning here. It's your Labor Day, but it's just a regular Monday work day here in Tokyo.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. And
great listening to you guys. Thanks for doing such a good job every Sunday night there.
Cannot thank you enough for listening all the way from Tokyo, and we appreciate you being out there. And Officer Steve, thank you, and Roger from Apopka, thank you as well. Jeff, go ahead and hit the song in there, and we're going to go out with a little Goldfinger song for you there. Do we have it, Jeff? All right, he's going to bring up Goldfinger as we go out tonight. I just once again want to thank all you folks out there, no matter where you are listening to us. We appreciate you so very much for that. And, of course, all of our sincerest thanks go also to our sponsors, who Pasquale Barba has been leading the way. 3.5 year sponsor of this show. We cannot thank the man enough, and he is so very generous. Every time he comes in here, he really treats our listeners well, and we cannot thank you enough. And, of course, the great stuff you bring us to eat. Mm. Thank you so very much, Pasquale. Quality.
Thank you.
We love you, man, and of course love coming to your restaurant every week as well. Also, by the way, Jeff, bring the song on up whenever you get it, any. Okay, we also want to thank the great folks at Vacation Travel Planners, Mara Lee, and My Liberty Threads, Scott Miller, Roxy, of course, Ed and Luann Roxy at Roxy Pacifics, also David Levitt at Refresh Computers, Pat Desert, Junto X, of course, Dr. James Hardy at Mercury Free Dentistry, and not the least of which, Aubrey Kahn, also a firm foundation. I'm just basically speechless here, folks. It's been a great show. It's been a great ride, and we appreciate it and want to keep doing it. Let's ride it some more. How about that?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? All right, so, folks, we're going to wrap it up tonight and turn it over to John Butler Book on 950. He's going to be talking about voter fraud, and then Armed American Radio. You can listen to them as well. A lot more great live radio here, and it's been a hoot, and we appreciate it. And
we are live, you know that.
And we are live. Night, everybody.
Except for Gary. Good morning, everybody.
Tokyo. Cool.